We're going to start tonight, and we're going to talk about, as you see on the screen, the power of the seed of Christ. The power of that seed. The power of the seed of Christ was the greatest power that was ever demonstrated upon the earth. The greatest power that ever happened, happened at Calvary. The greatest seed that ever came to birth happened on a cross. This one seed of Jesus produced a harvest of eternity for mankind, for those that would call upon his name, those who would believe. And we've got a lot of people trying to do it different ways, and you can't dodge the seed of Christ. You can't dodge it. It's the only way. According to Scripture, according to the Holy Bible, Jesus Christ is the only way into salvation. And because of this seed, there has been much war, there has been much death, there has been much martyring, there has been much persecution, there has been much anger and bitterness and hate, all because of this seed. Because this seed invokes something in people. This seed stirs things up because it's the only seed that has any power. The only seed that lives forever was the seed of Christ. And now because of that, we now too live forever because of it. We're going to start in John, St. John chapter 12. We're going to read two verses out of here, then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians. John chapter 12 and verse 24. This is Jesus speaking. John 12, 24 and 25, we're going to be reading. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hangeth on to his life, or his life of this world, shall keep it unto life everlasting." Except a seed of corn fall on the ground and die. Now, if you do study of natural seed in the earth, seeds we plant in the earth, when you plant a seed and you bury it, the shell of that seed begins to break apart and die. And through that death experience called germination, through that death of that seed, a new life is inside of it. And that new life comes out of a dead shell. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. The shell of his body at Calvary, out of that came a brand new life on the third day, him resurrecting from the dead. The seed first had to die. Remember, he told his people around him that in 3 days, I'll destroy this temple, but I'll raise it up again in 3 days. He was talking about himself, talking about his life, his body, that I'm going to destroy, I'm going to die in the natural. But out of this death comes your life. Out of this death comes your redemption. Out of this death comes your reconciliation back to Calvary. Out of this death comes eternity for you. I've only got to die once for you to live forever. Hallelujah. Think about that. One death produced everlasting life. And that is something we all ought to be shouting about. Glory to God. No amens on a Wednesday night. That is. Thank you, brother. This is the first time guy being here amens me. First time being here. So, in this experience of seed dying, there's always a new life that comes out. This new life for us was called Jesus. It was called our forgiveness. It was called our slate being wiped away. It was called something we couldn't do ourselves. All of us could have went to the cross. Wouldn't have made a difference. You know, as sweet and loving and adorable and a wonderful person Amy is, I know Ronway made me on that. If she went to the cross, it would have produced no good. Nobody could produce what happened except for the spotless, perfect Lamb of God who came forth, born of a virgin, the Bible tells us, who knew no sin but became sin that we could become righteous in God. Our righteousness is not attached to what we do. It's not attached to our behavior. Our righteousness is solely placed in the work of the cross and what Jesus did. And if we could ever wrap our minds around that and embrace that grace, man, we'd walk in such victory and power knowing I don't deserve it, but God did it. I was supposed to die, but God said live. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was bound, but now I'm free. I was in death, but now I've been resurrected. I was under the ground, but now I'm going to live forevermore. That's what Jesus did for me. That's what this one seed of Christ on the cross did for mankind. And it's producing a harvest every generation. has been produced to harvest. From the time he died on that cross to the day we are today, to however long we're here on the earth, every generation will benefit from that seed. Man, this seed keeps on producing. Think about it. We got some people that plant stuff in here. Brenda does tomatoes, you know, probably tomato plants. And, you know, you got a garden back here, Ralph, up in a big town in Union Grove. And think about this. What if you could plant your garden one time and never touch it again? Be pretty nice, wouldn't it? Just every year, well, there's the corn again, every year, there's the watermelons, every year, there's the potatoes, every year. From one time you sow in a seed, and every year from the time you plant it to the time you die, you've got the same potatoes, the same watermelons, with the yellow belly, you thumping, it sounds real good, and the stripes across them, they're perfect. Every year they're perfect. And you know what? The garden never is worse than it was. It's always the way it was sown. See, every generation has the same Jesus the generation before had. The blood's still powerful. The blood don't produce crop failures. It don't produce small tomato plants and big tomato plants. It produces us all tomato plants. We all are one in Christ. And his blood has not lost that effective power to keep producing a harvest generation. See, I think about, there's four generations alive in my family. And my grandmother's not here tonight. Normally she is. I will call and give her a pastor visit on this. But normally she's here. So, she's the first generation. Then my mother's the second generation. I'm the third generation. And my daughter Christian's the fourth generation. Four generations. My grandmother is born again. My mother is born again. I am born again. And my daughter is born again. All of us are recipients of the one seed that was sown way back then. The blood didn't, you know, I remember the night Christian got saved. We was in the fire department still when she got saved over at Monticello. And I remember Grandma came back, Mom and Dad came back, Joe Brown and Sharon were there. We came back in a corner to pray with her. She was so convicted. She was crying. And she said, I want to give my heart to Jesus. And she was, and you know what? I remember crying at my salvation experience. My mother, I'm sure, cried at her salvation experience. My grandmother cried at her salvation experience. So what am I saying? That this same God had the same effect. No matter, there's a span of generations. I mean, you know, when my grandma grew up, I mean, y'all, that was a whole different time period. But I felt the same touch of God. And the same wind of God blew to my daughter that night. The same wind of God drew my mother. The same Spirit of God, that fire of God, blew in and touched four generations and saved our souls and cleaned our slate forever because of that one seed that was sown. Jesus says, I must die. I don't want to die, but I gotta die. I ain't happy about dying, but it's my purpose. It's why I came. It's my call to come to the earth to die that death at Calvary so a whole world will be saved. He did that just for us. One seed forever produced a harvest that's still bringing return. I mean, man, think about it like this. We all know money terms. Think about royalty. We know what royalties are. You know, think about people like Gilligan's Island. They still run that show. I love Gilligan's Island. It's a stupid, generic show. But I love Gilligan's Island. I love it, man. Love Gilligan. He's just, you know, I just love that show. It's just, it's awesome. And by the way, it's Marianne, not Ginger. I like Marianne better. Just settle that debate right now. There's always the Marianne Ginger thing, you know. So here is Gilligan's Island. Running, it was produced in the early 60s, ran for three seasons, early to mid-60s, went off the air before I was even born. I wasn't even born, it went off the air. But you know what? I grew up watching it. And every time it's played somewhere, somebody's getting something in their pocket. It's called royalties. Every time it's aired, every time, people are still making money off a show that was produced 50 years ago. 50 years ago. Called royalties. Well, you know what? God is still receiving, we're the royalty of God. That one seed that was sown, God's still reaping. God's still benefiting. There's another child. All from the one seed. He doesn't have to die again to save mankind. The one death was enough to forever save all that would call upon his name. He never want to come back and die again. There'll never be another Calvary, another crucifixion, another cross, ever. He overcame that cross, overcame that death, overcame that judgment for us. Judgment was placed upon him that we could stand before God, not under the judgment for our sin. Sin was removed because that one seed died. Then it birthed a new life called reconciliation, justification, sanctification, and glorification. Hallelujah. All from that one seed. That's a pretty powerful seed. Once again, if you had a garden raft, could do that, boy, you'd take that all day long, wouldn't you? Rain couldn't destroy it. Tornadoes couldn't fix it. Dry heat wouldn't scorch it. See, nothing can change, ever alter or change that appointment at Calvary. That seed that was planted, it's over, it's done, it's producing, and nothing can ever take that away or challenge it. We don't need a new Holy Ghost movement. We don't need a new spiritual movement. We don't need a new doctrine. We don't need a new theme. We don't need a new thing. We just need the same power of the Holy Spirit that's always been. The same power. It's not changed. Now, man has incorporated a lot of different techniques, and of course, we've grown with technology. I mean, you know, back in grandma's day, they didn't have TV screens on the wall and didn't have probably wired microphones even. I mean, you know, it was wooden platforms and people tapping their feet, you know, and, you know, singing a cappella, and things have changed that way. But the message has never changed. Jesus is still the message. What Paul preached, he says, I only preach Christ. He even got aggravated because they were saying, who baptized you, Paul or Barnabas or, you know, Simon or John? Who baptized you? Are you kidding me? It don't matter who baptized you. You're baptized in Christ. It doesn't matter who put you in the water or who did the service. You're baptized in the family. Get off all that man junk, that pride stuff, and who did what, and just preach Christ. He's the only one that did anything. We didn't do nothing. We are just beneficiaries of what Jesus did at Calvary. And so here is Paul preaching as his whole ministry. Preach Christ, preach Christ, preach Christ. Now, I know for some people that seems so elementary, but that's the only message that has any power. And that's why a lot of us gotten away from it, because it does have power, and it changes you. Man, when you preach Jesus and his power, his resurrection power in you, that we preach a Jesus that lives and reigns forever now and lives inside of us, not one that we have to genre up or chant out. He lives in us. Wherever we go as his children, the presence of God is there with us. Any moment, any time, in our darkest hour, when we're yelling at our spouse, when we're sick in bed at night, when we're battling pain in our body, when we're struggling financially, the same presence of God that saved you and that infilled you and that indwelled you, it goes with you. You don't lose that presence. It's with you always. He says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, but I will go with you to the end of the world. Boy, that's comforting to know that God never going to forsake me. Preacher, I disagree with that, because I ain't felt him in so long, I don't know if he's even real. It's not his fault. It is not his fault you've not felt the presence of God. To feel the presence of God, you know what you have to do? You have to fellowship with God. You have to spend time with him. It's like a friend. It's like spouses. A lot of spouses, you know, they fall out of fellowship. Not really love. They fall out of fellowship, which then they lose those feelings because they've stopped fellowshipping. They've stopped being intimate, stopped talking, stopped sharing time together. And a coldness comes in and starts dividing. When we stop spending time with God, you know what's going to take that place? The world. And all the things of the world. If you don't make that time for God, everything else out there is going to come inside of you. Everything. Before you know it, yeah, you don't feel him no more. You're like Samson shaking yourself, trying to feel his anointing. And you're like, God, I can't feel it. What's happened? You let the enemy come in and affect your life. But the good news is he's still there. And all we have to do is return back to his presence and remind ourselves, Lord, here's what you said. Here's what you said. You would never leave me. You would never forsake me. That you live inside of me, God. You're in me. And I've got to get all this junk out of my head and out of my life and begin to once again spend time with you. It's just, there's so many distractions now. I mean, you know, if you got kids, you can't really talk to them because they're on their phones all the time. I know y'all aren't like that. But, you know, we'll go out to dinner or something. I'm like, oh, huh? Can you put the phone down a minute? Can we fellowship? You know, I'm about to tell you I won $1 million. I'm getting ready to get you a new car. Do you want to hear it? Oh, huh? Yeah, put the phone down. Heard that, didn't you? I mean, they're engrossed. And we're all guilty of it. I mean, we love it. You go to the gym, there are TVs everywhere hanging. You watch TV while you work out. You know, I mean, you got satellite radio with a million channels of anything you want. Just Westerns, just country music, just this. I mean, you could probably pick up a station that just had birds chirping. Here are various birds. Here is the blue jay. Here is the cardinal. Here is the crow. Probably got a channel that does that. It could do anything. I mean, we are, and we want more of it. We've gotten to the point now, if a YouTube video is more than about 4 minutes, we don't even watch it. I'll look at it, 5 and a half, I ain't got time, 5 and a half. You ain't got time for 5 and a half minutes? Are you kidding me? We've lost our attention. We're all gone ADD, you know, because there's so much out there. And so we've lost that fellowship with God. We can't be ADD with God, you know? Okay, God, I'm here. Woo, hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, I need to feel you. I got to feel you. Got an appointment coming. Somebody say, woo, Jesus, feel me. Hallelujah. Woo, woo, hallelujah. Okay, that's good. All right, come on in my office. That's how we act. That takes time to spend time with God. It may take you being on your knees for an hour, not hearing nothing. And then, boom, all of a sudden, the presence of God hits you. I mean, you know, it takes time just to be in his presence and to really get what you need from him. Now, sometimes it's instant, but there's times he's wanting you to, you know, spend some time with him. You know, you don't just marry the first person that walks in the door, hopefully. That's usually a mistake. You know, you date. You court, as in the old days, you used to say. You courted people. You had to go meet dad at the front door. I heard on TV the other day, this guy talking about what courting was. He said, yeah, courting's when you went to a girl's house, you actually went to the front door, knocked on the door, the dad would come, you'd meet the dad, the mom, all the kids, and the shotgun. That was courting. That's what you'd meet. You know, and we've gotten away from that. Now guys pull up, don't even open the door no more. Come on. You know, you parked on, you don't just get in and leave, and you don't even meet the guy for 3 months. I mean, really? Not my daughter. Make that clear. Not my daughter. But we've lost that. But anyway, let's get back on topic. We're talking about the seed. I don't have this on the screen, but I want to read this. Verse 32 on down that chapter says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Jesus speaking. The lifting up was not talking about, of course, the resurrection. It was talking about the crucifixion. If I be lifted up on the cross, if I be lifted unto death, if I be lifted unto this judgment with all your sin upon me, then that's going to be what causes men to find me, because I'm paying the price for mankind. And once the debt is paid, then you are free from that judgment of death and hell and the grave. Through Jesus. He was lifted up on Calvary, up on the cross, and that same Holy Spirit has drawn all of us into his presence. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, some of us try to fight that, but never fight the physical part of what God's trying to do in your life. Never put that wall up and say, "Oh, I don't want to feel God. I don't believe in that. I'm a man. I don't believe in crying. I don't show no emotion. I don't want to." Because see, if we close ourselves off, we won't experience everything God has for us. But when we're open, say, "You know what, God? If I cry like a baby, so be it. Feel my life. Break me down, God." Because we're crying inside. And then if we allow the Holy Spirit to really do its work in our lives, it will break us. And then we can be free. God, that's what I'm waiting on. I need a refreshing. I don't need just a good little message that I leave out here. God, I got chains on me tonight. I need chains broken. I need strongholds broken. I need demons cast out of my life. There's things in my life that I know that I struggle with, that's got a hold of me, and I need your power. And when we allow ourselves to open up to his Holy Spirit, then that presence will make itself known. I love in that song we sung, "Touch me now. Lord, touch me now." God can still touch us now. Not later. Don't put them on some date and calendar. God can touch you where you are right now, and everything can be changed and different from his one touch. Everywhere Jesus went, he touched people, they were healed right then. You never read a story where Jesus went to a crippled and said, "Lord, can you heal me?" Sure. Lay hands on him. You'll be healed in 2.5 years. Or, you know, he walks through and sees the same guy over in John chapter 3. Hey, buddy, you still limping? I thought I healed you. Nah, but it didn't work, Jesus. Everywhere body he touched, they were healed then. Right then, his presence made people whole. And he's still a now God. You know, he's still a now God because he now lives in us. And boy, we have a living God we can feel. And I love that. Look at 1 Corinthians now. And I love, this is the chapter that you hear a lot of funerals and grave sites, and it talks about the sting of death, and talks about in a moment, twinkling of an eye, the trumpet's going to sound, but we're not going to read none of that part. We're going to back up, because we're talking about the seed, the power of the seed. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35. Paul talks about the seed. Now, you might find some of this part in here, never heard it before like this, and a little interesting. Because I never heard it like this until I began to study it and prepare for this. 1 Corinthians 15, 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now there are people questioning Paul about resurrection. Once they die, they're saying, Paul, their body's decayed. So do they get that body back? Or do they get their body back like that but brand new? Or what would they look like, Paul? Or how do you know they're really raised from the dead? How do you know is a resurrection? Verse 26, Paul says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive, except it die. Just what Jesus said. Understand something. They can't live till they die. A body can't resurrect until the old shell is broken and the new life comes forth. Nature teaches us that in natural seed. So he's trying to teach them. Verse 37, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So the corn seed, we know what corn looks like when everybody knows what corn looks like when it's grown. Everybody. Has a very distinct look, don't it? Big old tall stalks. Love seeing big cornfields. How's a watermelon vine look like? Totally opposite. On the ground and on its belly. Then you got mater plants look like oak leaf trees off of it. Then you got cotton plants. Little white balls of cotton all through the field. Then you got tobacco leaves. Them big old wide leaves that leave all that nasty stuff on you. Every seed has a different body. Look at the oak tree versus the dogwood tree versus the crepe myrtle. Three seeds, three bodies. God gave each of them a different body. Look at the cardinal and the robin and the blue jay. Three different seeds, three different bodies. Look at the hippopotamus, the rhinoceros, and the opossumus. You get that right, the possum. You spell the O, opossum, okay. I know it's pronounced possum. I'll just make sure y'all awake. All three. Different seeds, different bodies. You got a giraffe with a neck 8 foot tall, and you got a chimpanzee with no neck at all. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You got animals with arms longer than legs and tails shorter than bodies, and I don't know about that, but longer than bodies. You got all these different things. Then let's look at creation in the sky. You got the sun and the moon and the stars. Three bodies, three seeds, three bodies. So Paul is saying God gives every seed the body and covering that he chooses. So what does that mean for us? When Ron Daniel goes on, and I'm making sure I don't use myself. When Ron Daniel goes on to that great long black train in the sky, what's he going to look like on the other side? Is he going to look like he does right now exactly? See, we tend to think that way. Because we think, well, yeah, I'm going to look like I do because the Bible says I'll be known as I was known. And how's my wife going to know me if I look like James? I mean, she going to know that's me. I can say, hey, I'm your husband. No, you're my pastor. No, I'm Ron. Hello. We tend to think that. But see, it's really a mystery, isn't it? Nobody knows what we're going to really look like. Nobody knows the body we're going to have. All I know is it will be. It's not going to be some ghostly in spirit realm we're floating in. We are going to be a spirit in a body forever, just like in the beginning with Adam. Adam was a physical human being with God's spirit in him. Adam was immortal, unageable, unsickable, unbreakable. He was all of those things until sin came. So we will be, once again, having a physical, natural experience with the Holy Spirit in us, forever changed. But nobody knows what that body is going to look like. But God will determine for each person what their body will look like. Gives some things to think about, doesn't it? Gives some things to think about. Everything God does. I mean, you know, you just look at some of the animals, how funny looking they are. You see these Natural Geographic shows, have these animals look, you know, you got the blowfish, right? Does that. And you got the stingray. It ain't got no eyes, or they're on the bottom or something. Got them slits in them and stuff, and the long tail. And I mean, there are some weird looking, funny, and all of them are different. It's amazing how different they are. And so, you know what? I don't know what kind of body I'll have. I hope it's got hair. But other than that, I don't know what kind of body I'll have, but I do know this. It will be a glorified body. It will be forever and ever and ever, and it won't break down and it won't age. And I will have a heavenly kingdom experience that will never pass away. And we will know other relationships in the kingdom. The Bible is clear on that. A verse that I love using. I've used it many times. When Jesus was at the mountain of the transfiguration, and he transfigured himself to all white to show Peter and, or to show John and, Peter and John and James, I think I was with him. You know, he was who he said he was. All of a sudden, two other figures appeared. Moses and Elijah. And if you read the Bible there, Peter says, Lord, shall we build three tabernacles? One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. They lived 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 years. Well, 1,000, 1,500 years before Peter and John. They never met them, never knew who they were. There wasn't Wikipedia. They couldn't pull up photos. They didn't know what they looked like. But yet, he addressed them by name. How did they know it was Moses and Elijah? It's a revelation to me that it was made known to them who they were. It was made known to them. We will know relationships. We will know who they are. But it won't be like we think, oh, there's my mom. Hey, mom, what, you know, you look about the same. Just a little grayer hair. But well, no, not gray hair. You're in a kingdom. Never mind. You look a little blacker hair. Now, I remember. I honestly don't. See, we're in two different realms. We equate things the same. We can't. I don't think we'll look nothing like we look here on earth in the kingdom. Nothing. God's got a special design for me. If I come back as goofy, I'd be happy. Because I love goofy. However we come back, however we're resurrected, whatever state we go to cross over and live the kingdom life, it will be a glorified state, and God chooses how our seed is covered. The Bible says that God chooses. God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed, his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another kind of beast, another of fishes, and another of birds. They are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. We just said that. For one star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. That is us, church. We were sown in corruption by the penalty of sin. But because of what Jesus did at Calvary, at that one appointment, we'll be raised up. No more corruptible, but incorruptible. Glory. It is sown in dishonor. We're all going to be sown in dishonor by this, because of the penalty of sin. But because of Christ, it is raised in glory. We are sown in weakness, but we will be raised in power. Is that all I got up there? It is sown a natural body. It is a raised spiritual body. Now look at this. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. It's talking about when we are resurrected. There is a natural body and a spiritual body. Some people mistake this as being, well, it says spiritual. That means it's going to be different. They're not going to really be functioning inside of an operating house. But you look at spiritual here, it's talking about we're going to be empowered with the Holy Ghost. The full measure of the presence of God will once again be inside of us. So we don't have the full measure now. We have a down payment called the Holy Spirit. But we haven't experienced the full measure of God's presence. Because there's other things around us that pull us. But when we cross over, when we step across that Jordan, when we walk in that next place, we will experience the fullness of what God had always had planned for us. We get a little piece of it here. We feel His presence a little bit here. We get the chill bumps and we cry. We feel His holy presence and we love those feelings. But it's just a little tiny piece of what we're going to experience when all is said and done. But when we do cross over, the fullness of the glory of God will once again be inside of mankind. And we will live and reign and rule with God, as the Bible says, forevermore. There'll be no more tears, Revelation tells us, no more sorrows. All that's going to be passed away. Remember what John said, I saw a new heaven, a new earth coming out of heaven. I saw a new city coming down. And in this city there were no tears, there was no sorrow, there was no pain, there was no crying. It's a new city. We're going to have that new place. This is not the finality of our lives. This is not where it ends. It doesn't end on funeral day. It begins on funeral day for us. It begins. We celebrate the death of a saint in the earth. We celebrate because we know they've got the reward. Just as Paul said, we can honestly say over every believer, they have fought the good fight, they have kept the faith, and their time of departure is now at hand. It is time for them to receive their crown of life. That's if we would focus and know we miss them here in the earth so much, if we focus on where they are now, we can't help but smile and beam. Thank God. No more pain and no more sickness. Man, it's kind of like when you give something to your kid. You're more excited than they are to get it, you know, until the visa bill comes and you're like. But in that moment, you're excited to give it to them. And you got it all wrapped up. And he's got their name on it, Christian Lewis. And you know what it is because you bought it. And she's sitting there, you know, what is it? What could it be? She's opened it up and you know all along. And you're just beaming with excitement. And then she opens it up and then she sees what it is. See, God has already wrapped everything up. God knows what we're going to walk into. God knows what we're going to see. God's got a gift for each of us that we're going to all see what He has planned for us. And each one's going to see a different thing. That's what I love. Each one of us, I believe, will have a different experience in the kingdom of God. Because He's got a special thing for each of us. He's not a cookie cutter God. Well, I'm going to show Mary this beautiful green mountain with a wonderful brook and an angel and a harmonica. Woo, and the wings. Woo. And then Mary comes in. I'm going to show her the same thing because she likes harmonicas. She likes harmonica and angels. I'll do the same thing. Woo. No, we're each something different. What a picture that would be. All of us have something different waiting on us. And God has something special in that other side. So let's think of those going on as, my Lord, they're already there. Man, they're there. And one day I'll see what they're seeing. And I'll be where they're at. And I'll experience what they're experiencing. But for now, it's a separation period from the flesh. But it won't always be. It won't always be. Because that one seed that died at Calvary produced that moment in that life of that person laying there on funeral day. Every time we do a funeral service for someone that is a child of God, it all goes back. They're a child of God because of that one seed. They're now with You, Lord, because of that one seed. They've escaped death, hell, and the grave because of that one seed. They are forever changed, God, right now, because of that one seed. It all goes back to the power of the seed. The power of that seed. Jesus' flesh being broken and dying on the cross so that resurrection life would come out of that broken shell. And it's that resurrection life that raised all will raise all of us up. You know, I know it's hard for us to think this way because we're part of the way we've been taught, but a lot of it because we're humans. But if you are in Christ Jesus, you are now in a resurrected state. Even though your flesh will, if the Lord doesn't return, your flesh will go out, but will fall. But you are in a resurrected state already because you have that promise of never dying. Jesus said over and over in John, if you follow me, you'll never die. Believe in me, you'll never taste death. Serve me, you'll never die. So we've already escaped that judgment of death and hell because of Jesus. Man, what a seed. If we could package seeds, if we could package seeds in America, called the Jesus seed, start passing them out, saying, take one a day, or just not even one day, one period, take one seed. You'll never die, never be sick, you'll never have any problems, never any struggles, never any battles. You're going to live forever in perfect joy, perfect peace, and perfect health. There would be you couldn't make them fast enough to get rid of them. But that's what Jesus did. That's what he produced in that seed. Our future, perfect health, perfect peace, perfect life. Everything's perfect because of that one seed. The power of the seed. This is why this cross, it's not just a symbol that hangs in a church. It's not just some religious thing. And so people abuse the cross. It just, it's so frustrating that they abuse the cross. People wear necklaces because the cross is a symbol now. It's an end thing to wear a cross, necklace. It's an end thing. But do you know what it means? The cross is a powerful thing, and it should never be dishonored. It's powerful. You know, I know it still happens, but back years ago when the KKK was so alive and well, I used to always wonder why they use a cross for hate. Why use a cross for hate? You take this holy, perfect plan of God, this symbol of redemption, and you use it for a symbol of hate. Never made sense to me. Never made sense. We don't abuse the cross, and the cross is not outdated, and the cross is still relevant. There's people who don't talk about it anymore because it's too old-fashioned. It's too old-time doctrine. I've actually talked to people that don't have crosses, don't display crosses on their church or anywhere in their church because they want to make it more of a non-traditional setting. Church, you take the cross out of it. I mean, my God, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. Never be ashamed of it. People say, what do you believe in? I believe in Jesus dying for my sins forever. And through him, I am saved forevermore. Well, if you act ugly, you still saved? Yeah, I'm still saved. Because if it's up to me to get saved, I couldn't act good enough to get saved. I might act good for 3 days of the week. But pray, don't let that trumpet sound on hump day. Don't let me be there when the trumpet sounds, or I'm in trouble. Don't let me be doing this on certain things when the trumpet sounds. Don't let me be with so-and-so when that trumpet sounds. Please, God. But we've been taught that our whole lives, and it's kept people in bondage. The cross sets you free. When we know the power that's in that seed, we will want to live for God. And it will change us. This cross changed my life when I got saved. It changed my daughter's life. I've seen change in her life. It's changed my other daughter's life. It's changed Melanie's life. The power of the cross has changed our lives. It's not something we just, say, yeah, I got saved. No, it changed who we are. It changed how we act. It changed how we talk. It changed how we live. It changed where we go. It changed the words we use. It changes our decision making. It changes how we look at life. It changed everything. The power of the cross changes everything when you really embrace it. So honor it and always cherish it. If it wasn't for the old rugged cross, where would I be? We'd be lost. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, without the remission of sin, we would still be in our sin. We'd still be in our sin. It's very important you recognize your sin cannot be healed by anything but what Jesus did at the cross. It can't be healed by all your good wishes, all your good will, all your good works. You are healed and redeemed only by what happened at Calvary. Jesus, finish it. I love what he said in Hebrews. He says, cease from your works and rest in me. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about our works of trying to get salvation. Just quit trying to do that. It's an insult to me. It's an insult to me, God is saying, when you try to live your life trying to save yourself whenever the price I paid. Are you kidding me? Man, if you could do it on your own, I sure wouldn't have went through that. I sure would have escaped that and said, I can't do this, Father. Bring me home. There were several times Jesus cried out. We always know the story of the Garden of Gethsemane. But in this chapter here, I didn't read it, but in chapter 12 it talks about, if there's another way, Lord, so to speak, it's paraphrased, another way. But that's why I came. That's my purpose. Jesus was not eager to do what he did in the flesh. But he realized that he was the payment for our sin. The payment. And when he died on the cross, across our hearts, debt free. You owe nothing. I paid it for you. Why wouldn't you follow somebody like that? That paid your debt. If someone paid off all your financial debts, I don't care how mean they were, you want to follow them, wouldn't you? You paid my debts off. I'm going to always be your friend. Man, you paid my house off, paid my cars off, paid my credit card off, paid my kids' college. You're a friend. I don't care what Ron Daniel says about you, man. You paid my debt. And I'll fight for you. I'd die for you. If Ron Daniel says, give up that friend or I'm going to shoot you in my 22. Oh, Heavenly Father, forgive my sins if I trespass against thee. No, shoot me. I'm not giving that up. He paid my debt. We should be that strong for Jesus. He paid our debt. Never be ashamed of that. And don't let religious people condemn you into thinking that old junk about, you know, yeah, I know you believe in that grace you're saved, but you better. I better what? Finish your statement. I better what? Well, you just better live right, okay? Well, I'm trying to live right. I really am by the grace of God. But if my living right can save me, why did Jesus come? Can you answer that, my friend? Well, I live right. Sure you do. Sure. Yeah. Church, we all got our secrets. We all got our dark hours. We all got our weaknesses. There's none of us that would want anybody from CNN following us around all day. It's everything we do. Boy, that's scary. Every word we say, every thought we have. What if they could put a probe on you? Every thought you had. Whew. Man, we'd be in trouble. That's why Jesus came. Set us free. Glory to God. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. For this powerful seed. This powerful seed. Each seed will have its own body as you have declared it. We don't know what we will appear like in the next realm, but we know we will be a physical body with your presence of the Holy Spirit forever in us. And we will be glorified and we will be beautiful again and we will be redeemed eternally. And we will know each other. We will have fellowship with each other as well as with you forever and ever and ever. All things will be complete again as it was supposed to be in the beginning. That's our promise in your word. And it all happened because of what happened on Mount Golgotha. Thank you, Jesus, for that moment of time, for that seed you planted, the one seed, the one offering only that saves everyone that will call upon your name. I pray hearts hear this, ears hear this, and hearts receive this message tonight, that they will call upon you, Lord, as their Lord and Savior, realizing there is nothing they can do to earn it or keep it. It's only through you and what you did that they have it. We thank you, we praise you for your presence here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.